Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Bless y'all. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another show, another week. Hallelujah. 34 days. Mother Carol, you ready? 34 days to the Passover. Mama Nelly, Summer, you ready? Hallelujah. You hear all that... all the locations from the gathering, y'all hear that? Wow, and the Most High Yah is still doing a great thing. Bless you to all the set-apart sisters. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bless you, Sister Deira. Bless you, Mom Deidre. Diana. Hallelujah. Dorothy, bless y'all. Tara, bless y'all. Amara and Marshayla, bless you. Thanks for the sound checks. Give them to me, tens, please, if you can hear me really well. And big shout-out. Say hallelujah from my audience.
Hallelujah!
Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Very, very thankful to have their support. It's very humbling. Mother Jennifer's in Georgia. We're jumping to you. Sound check, please, Mother.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to all the daughters of Zion. Shalom to the listening audience. It's really good to be here. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley. It's good to be able to see the chat room tonight. A lot of interaction in there. Pray everyone can hear me very well, and I think we can move forward whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. Acknowledgements to my King and the King of Heaven, the King of Glory, and the King of my body, my mind, my soul, who's given me my breath, my life, and his spirit. I'm very, very thankful. I'm very thankful. All praise to the Most High Yah. I praise him for Deacon Bill, who helps me. Hallelujah. He's been a great strength to me. And, even when I have none, he's been a strength to me. Hallelujah. Pastor Dow, thank you so much for the opportunity and chance to live here. I didn't understand what would be required when I accepted the invite. But thank you. It's my home. It's my home now. Pastor Dow, if you've heard his voice, I'm sure you, it's very rare for someone to come across us before they come across Pastor, but it does happen. So thank you to the YouTubers, the subscribers, and those who follow us from a distance. I pray that you name and live the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor Dow is an object of thousands of offended minds. And very few of us can relate to the constant attacks, you know, on who he is. If you're a person, your personality, your calling, you know, who you actually are, was continually under attack. It's a very straight and narrow walk, and I give honor to that. There will be so few with Pastor Dow in the end. So few. I'm not deceived by the numbers. Big shout out and blessings to Elder Becker for the phone calls, for the observations, the meditations, and the low-key life that he lives. But so instrumental. So necessary. To Teacher Shane, for his humility is such a vessel of honor. And even our brother Rich, for the labor of his hands. He's always given of his time and his labor for this community since I've known him. And I just want to honor those men tonight, their ages, their experience. I appreciate you all. I appreciate your families. To the old shoes, bless you all, those who stand beside a pastor, no matter where you are. Thank you so much to my homeschool moms. I hope you're getting the groove. Hallelujah. I hope you're taking the pressure off of your children and off of yourself and really finding the groove on how to teach them. And a big shout-out and blessing to all the mothers. You know, I pray you're finding joy in training. And shout-out to all the women that will be wives and are wives. I hope you're understanding how to get low. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Shalaya, for the Tribal Tide song list. I was going to play them tonight, but I won't. I'll save it for another time. If you remember when we started kicking off our song playlist and just throwing little interludes and music breaks in the show, we started with your Tribal Tots. It's really a nice thing. I pray you guys can always have an opportunity to continue. Bless you to South Carolina. Praise land. Bless y'all. Miss y'all. Miss Brother Kavir's voice. Used to see a lot of him, a lot of y'all's videos, and now life and time has evolved, and it's not the season for it, but 34 days to Passover, pray it's going to be a good show for you guys. Grab some paper and a pen. There's a good clip I'm going to play. Pastor's going to say a lot really fast, and you might want to write some of it down. It'll be probably in the middle of the show, but you may need your paper tonight. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what's on your heart?
Hallelujah. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for just continually keeping me, regardless, just always having a safe place for me to go to, a secret place for me to be able to rest in Him, for my mind to continually be at peace. I'm so happy that He is keeping me. I don't take it for granted at all. Every single day I know that He is the one that is strengthening me and keeping me. And it's an honor to just know who I am and know my identity in Him. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being an example for us, a great provider for his family, for pouring into me so that I can be who Yah has actually called me to be. You know, I wouldn't be here without him. And I'm just happy to have a man of Yah in my life who knew the voice of a true shepherd and was able to actually lead me where we are. And Sister Ashley, it really is, you know, it's an honor to be able to live in a place where Yah has placed his name. And it's not anything to take lightly. And so to our shepherd, to Pastor Dow, for the work that he started many years ago, even, you know, before 30 years ago, before Straightway put boots on the ground there in Lafayette, Tennessee, even before that, the work that Pastor allowed Yah to do in his life, we are able to reap the benefit of that today. So blessings to Pastor Dow, blessings to his Ashias, blessings to every single person that is a part of his family who helps support him. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. May we never forget our early beginnings, and may we never forget who we believe our shepherd to be. It's the most challenging, you know, thought that the enemy uses and presents to everyone at some point. You know, you forsake and make an excuse to leave the man of Yah, and you never say you left Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so 34 days and counting. Thanks for anybody and everyone who is sending to be a blessing. Thank you all for checking out the video, sending anything to us. We've gotten a small amount of things, not even one-fourth of what we actually need. I pray that a lot more comes in within the next 34 days, just like a big family reunion coming up with Passover and everything you guys do, send, or even your prayers. I really greatly appreciate it. Mother Jennifer, any announcements from you?
I have no announcements. I just want to, I do want to say that, you know, it's exciting that we're coming out of the dead season. And, you know, it's just exciting to see the work that's going to continue, being able to get our hands in the dirt and work in the gardens and things of that nature. So you can tell the weather is changing, and I'm very excited about that, coming into this new season of life. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Anyone have anything behind me? You're good?
Bless you, Sister Allison in Australia.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Allison in Australia, from the audience and from Sakina. Hallelujah. Bless you to all the countries tuning in. Sister Mai, bless you. Everybody who's tuning in the odd hours of the night. Hallelujah. Just hungry for fellowship. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Hey, I'm going to go to my first clip. We're kicking off our conversation. This is a nine-year-old message from 2012. So probably majority of our listeners weren't around in 2012. I was. Few of us were. And I'll play a short clip. The title is Spirits of Rebellion, Stubbornness, and Rejection, and Sending Back Curses, but I won't get far enough into that message for you to really get the meat of it. It's a Sabbath service at 12:01:12, December 25th, 2012, all right? So let me make sure I got my time stamps, everything lined up. You can hear the men talk a lot tonight. I got 8 clips from our men, our leaders, our elders, and me and Mother Jennifer are actually going to be able to listen more than talk tonight. Hallelujah. So I look forward to that as well. Let's see how this all pieces together. I came up around, what time we could get here, Sakina?
4:30.
About 4:30 and just kind of placed all this together. So I pray y'all enjoy, and I'll be even surprised. I shouldn't say I'll be surprised. I will be interested to see how it all comes together. I'll put it like that. All right, Sabbath service, December 25th of 2012. Hallelujah. You can even hear the difference in pastor's age and voice. And his teaching dynamic. Hallelujah. We've all grown. Okay? Let's hear what he's got to say.
Love his body. And let me say this. As we are increasingly becoming more popular, you know, throughout the United States and parts of the world, and we are becoming extremely popular. And it's because it's time. Remember I told y'all years ago, it was a couple of years ago, I said it's time. the Most High is gathering his people. And his people have to keep the commandments.
Hallelujah. Let's test that. I was born in Lafayette, Tennessee. Where were you born?
Virginia.
Virginia. Where were you born?
Tullahoma,
Tennessee. Where were you born?
Tullahoma.
Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville, Florida. And you?
Tullahoma.
We got a family in here tonight, y'all can tell. You behind the screen, where are you from?
Born.
Born in Newark, New Jersey. What about you, Granny?
Cheyenne, I thought you
said Granny. Granny, I know you. Go to bed, Granny.
Kansas.
I didn't know that.
Kansas.
Ain't nothing in Kansas except our Kansas City Saints. Hallelujah. Y'all hear that? There is no way, Mother Jennifer, I would have known all these people before we were not a people, right? Let's go back to 2012. Let's go back to 9 years ago. Let's see what he says, because he said, in 2012, he said, it's time. Yah's gathered us, right? It was 9 years ago. This was, you know, back when he would get maybe 200 or 300 views on a video. Back when maybe, you know, 200 or 300 subscribers. Okay, so y'all know where we're at now. Let's see what he says.
And have the testimony in order to gather. He's not going to be gathering people from the four corners of the earth who are lawless.
No, sir.
And disobedient.
No, sir.
So if you're sitting here or you're out there, remember that it's the king that chose you and not you him. Remember that. And remember, you're not sitting in that seat because you made an informed decision. You're sitting in that seat because while you were just like Job, going on in your little world, one day he came and he got a hold of you. And of course, then everybody called you crazy. Crackpot, kook, fanatics, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, all of that.
You know, it's easy, right? I always want to keep, like, turn around and talk to my sisters because it's easier, like, to talk face-to-face. But I'm going to stay looking at the microphone. It's easy to forget, you know, how you came, why you came, who brought you, you know. The battle gets thick, right? And it's easy, all right? So we're going to play a clip just to reflect. And what did he just say? Who gathered us? The king, right? We all share one king. I love this clip. Back in the day, Pastor introduced this to the saints. It's from my, oh gosh, I don't have his full name on this clip. Let me see if I can find it right here. Dr. S.M. Lockridge. Now, I currently ask a brother who has, like, this radio voice. I talked to his wife last feast. I'm like, I really want your husband to make this clip for our show. Like, make it so I can click and play it. Y'all gonna understand when I play it for you. You understand what I mean? Like, I want him to, you know, I want an Israelite that I know to rehearse this. This is in the 1970s. And this will make you really, really praise our king for what he's doing.
The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoulder supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's a centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the coral, the necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He is the key. He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's in this.
Hallelujah. Can somebody say that's my king?
That's my king!
Yeah, that's my king. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, it ain't over. Let's hear the last part of it.
He's indescribable. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever. And when you get through it all as a forever, then amen.
Hallelujah. Can somebody say that's my king?
That's right.
Hallelujah. All right, he's the reason we move and breathe. He's the reason I know you guys. He's the reason I speak. He's the reason for the show, the reason for the ministry. He's the reason for my shepherd. Hallelujah. He has glory. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. May he never be overlooked. May he never be forgotten. May he never lack. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on back to the clip. I'm going back to our shepherd. Hallelujah. From December 25th of 2012.
Which we're familiar with that. But as we become increasingly more popular and stuff, we're going to have a whole lot more lunatics.
Y'all heard it, right?
Yeah.
All right. As we become increasingly more popular, we're going to have a lot more lunatics. Hold on.
Coming around.
Rewind.
And y'all need to know this.
Rewind.
You're sitting here or you're out there. Remember that it is the king that chose you and not you him.
All right. Good enough.
Remember that. You're sitting in that seat. Because while you were just like Job, going on in your little world, one day he came and he got a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then everybody called you crazy crackpot, poop, fanatics, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, all that, which we're familiar with that.
Yes, sir.
But as we become increasingly more popular and stuff, we're going to have a whole lot more lunatics coming around. And y'all need to know this. And y'all, are you following me? Especially spiritual young lunatics. And y'all need to know this. This is a total different fight than it was in Christianity. You're going to see stuff take place here like you would see in the book of Acts. Now, you follow me? That's another reason why people come from all over to get delivered, to get healed. But not only that, to grow in grace and in knowledge. But when people inherently seem to be religious, all it takes is one disagreement for a person to get bitter. Are y'all listening to my words? To get bitter. And it doesn't take much for that bitter, like cancer, to grow.
All right, let's pause. We got two things going on. Number one, he said that there will be an increase of lunatics. Okay, and y'all know what a lunatic is. Mr. Google says it's a mentally ill person. Okay, a mentally ill person. Have you, Mother Jennifer, ever had someone that, in your opinion, would be mentally ill or a lunatic come through Georgia, and what is the concrete evidence or proof that they are?
We have, Sister Ashley. We have had people who, you know, they were given the opportunity to be set free from spirits, you know, to fight the spirits that were within them, but they did not take advantage of the opportunity. And so, you know, years ago, we had a family here, and there was a little boy who was not pleased with the boundaries that were set on the land, you know, the rules that was set on the land by Elder Rufus. And so he showed his displeasure by urinating on one of our barbecue grills. So that would be a lunatic mindset. And that's just, you know, that's just one example. We've seen a lot of things, but that's just one example that I'm given. I even think about, Sister Ashley, people who, excuse me, are on YouTube making videos against Pastor Dow. And when you listen to their sentiments, it's very lunatic behavior, very lunatic in speech. Sister Ashley?
If you've been listening to the show long enough, you're going to hear some of this on repeat, but we had a brother who gave us, you know, gave Pastor and the fellowship here gifts because he was a part of us, or he was playing the role of being a part of us. He gave, you know, a very large gun, a 50 cal. He gave an army truck. Just, gosh, even 6 months later, his wife, you know, was, I never knew why they left. It never made any sense to me. And his wife started a website against us. And sometimes people will start websites and it'll be along the line, like they'll throw Straightway's name in it, you know, to catch you, like Straightway live.net. You know, something that's going to make people believe, oh, that's Straightway, you know, so they're going to click. But, you know, she had a whole blog that she had written about how I buried my child in an outhouse. We had a man who came and stayed at the guest house just yards from where I'm sitting and talking to y'all, who actually urinated in a quart jar and left it. We had a lady come from another country, and she was permitted to stay here for 30 days, and she wanted her own shelf in the refrigerator so nobody else could put anything on it. That's not how we live. We live communally. We share all things. You're on a visit for 30 days. She wanted her shelf in the fridge. She wanted a space on the counter for her coffee pot and her items that she needed in the morning, you know, for her breakfast, her tea, her coffee bar. She wanted to set it up in her kitchen, and she wanted to occupy a space that we needed. She left the facility that she stayed in, which at the time Grandma Vicky was in care of, and now that the trailer is no longer here, she left it in such bad shape there's so much trash. I mean, big, large, and you're staying for 30 days, you know. So you have the potential to accumulate a lot of trash. And she had left big, large, 50-gallon trash. I'm sorry, Grandma Vicky had to pick it up, okay. But she filled 50-gallon trash bags of trash and even had to have the brothers move the furniture, move the bed to actually access the trash and get to the things that were thrown so disastrously in the room. You know, we had a lady who sent bad checks, you know, had to tell her stop sending the checks, right? Now she's Wiccan, a witch. She's Wiccan. You know, we had a man come here, got dropped off, coming to get deliverance from schizophrenia. You can see him online now. His name is Ron Wickenbach. He was dropped off here for deliverance, played the part for a little while, started a lot of drama while he was here, scuffles. He wouldn't leave. You know, we needed him to get picked up, escorted off the land because he wouldn't leave. He just made a show. We had a married couple get dropped off in a bus years ago and actually had to be told, okay, you've worn out, you're welcome. Like, first of all, we didn't even know you were coming. We don't know you at all. You stayed for a couple of months now. You need to go, you know? And they pour the sob story on you. Like, where am I going to go? Right? I'm going to give you some voice notes from Elder Becker. I hope you can hear this. It's from my cell phone. I have permission to play this tonight. This is our Elder Becker's voice. He answers a lot of our phone calls. Talk to me, Elder. Let's see if it'll play.
Oh, another example is I deal with a lot of people, mostly men. In fact, I can't think of maybe one woman, but
sound check.
Men that call here, and they insist that you listen to everything they have to say because they've been reading the Bible and doing their own self-study for years, and they demand that you listen to what they have to say. They demand that we accept their philosophies, their ideas, their doctrines, and when I point blank tell them they can you know, take their doctrines and stick them up their whatever, being polite about it, and of course they get offended. I've even had people curse me out and start screaming they're going to pray against me. And I'm full of Satan, I'm full of the devil, but that's happened numerous times. That's just another example of me of lunatics, just demonic spirits.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Oh, another example is I deal with a lot of people, mostly men. In fact, I can't think of maybe one woman, but mostly men that call here, and they insist that you listen to everything they have to say because they've been reading the Bible and doing their own self-study for years, and they demand that you listen to what they have to say. They demand that we accept their philosophies, their ideas, their doctrines, and when I point blank tell them they can you know, take their doctrines and stick them up their whatever, being polite about it, and of course they get offended. I've even had people curse me out and start screaming they're going to pray against me, and I'm full of Satan, I'm full of the devil, but that's happened numerous times. That's just another example of me of lunatics, just demonic spirits.
Sound like pastor's words come true? This is 2012. This has not happened yet, all right? So now I asked, you know, how many people come, how many people call a month, and ask them a few other questions. You're going to hear another, let's say, minute and 30 seconds or so, okay? Thanks for the sound check. So it is low on my phone.
All right. How many are help me with my problems?
Help me with my problems.
In a month?
In 1 month.
I would say conservatively probably 35 to 45 a month, anywhere from marriage problems to financial problems to legal problems to court-related things, land issues, homeless, a lot of homeless and shelters, needing a place to stay, people calling for handouts, what else? Of course, people wanting to move here, that's a majority of them. I would say calls for fellowship are maybe probably a quarter to half, maybe three-eighths to half of the calls, maybe, no, not even that much, probably three-eighths of the calls, or about a third out of 100 are fellowship calls, so 30, 35 are fellowship. I believe that's about right. And right now, calls per month are averaging, right now, about 150 to 175 this year, 150 to 175.
One man handling 150 to 175. I understand? It's hard to even answer the phone with seven rings a day, right? Much less talk to him, right? This is unreal. Mother Jennifer, your words.
Those percentages are absolutely amazing. And I could not, I can't personally comprehend handling that type of mental weight every single day, every month. It definitely takes a man of discernment and wisdom and love to be able to weed through all of that. So it is a blessing to have, our elder who just loves to serve. But it's very true. You do get a lot of people, a lot of, I'll say women, who want to be heard, have no idea or understanding of only give us the information that's needed. We only need the information, the pertinent information. We don't need the feelings and the emotions. We just need to know the facts. So definitely true statements, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. A lot of the emotional problems that we handle, or I handle personally on the phone, would be rooted in rejection, feeling unwanted and unloved. That's a really common disturbance. Of course, there's the resentment, the hatred, the anger, the fears that you have to walk the callers through as well. But the emotional problems, they call, the mental problems, they call, which is just, loss of memory or schizophrenia or some of the more diagnosed mental illnesses, mothers with children who have them, those who have, sexual problems, lust, homosexuality, adultery, incest, they do call addictions, they call, infirmities call. One thing that, Pastor had said on that brief clip that I played was that you just have to have one disagreement, just one disagreement. And it's really a fact that each of us are going to have a disagreement in the faith. You're going to have one. I mean, think about that one that you're having would be the one, the percentage that would take you out. It's pretty fearful. And religious error is really what a lot of what, Elder had said in his call too. Like, he deals with a lot of people that have that disagreement with a religious error. And we know that any involvement to any degree in any religious error can open the door for even, spirits, from Christianity to Mormonism to Jehovah Witness and Christian Science and Rastafarianism and all these things. You have these objects in your house, you have this literature in your house, and these sources of religious error are also known to attract demons into your house. So it's not, and of course the ESP and the palmistry and the witchcraft and stuff, but normally, other than maybe childhood fantasy and playing around with those things when you were young, witches don't just stroll through here, right? That we know of. Believe me, if we did, our leaders would pick up on it. But most importantly, there's a lot of issues with the doctrine, and the more that is taught here, and the more that it is ministered, that it's ancient doctrine. They really criticize us for ancient doctrine. That's not needed in the law, that's not done. So when you're restoring and you're a ministry that restores things, a lot of people will find their disagreement in that restoration. You know, that's not necessary, that's not necessary, that shouldn't be said, that shouldn't be done. And so you see that throughout the years we've lost a lot of people. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, just thinking about religious doctrine and, you know, things that you could potentially personally believe, and you may not even see it as being wrong, but I'm thinking about a woman who, I believe it was around 2012, and I remember a woman who wanted, this was her personal opinion, that, and she stated it publicly, "I wish Pastor Dow would preach more from the lost books of the Bible." She wanted, you know, she had in her mind what she wanted our shepherd to do. And she was able to persuade other women to have a Bible study with her. And, you know, I remember hearing that and really understanding that there's no way that this will go well. Because you've got, you know, a woman with an opinion about what she wants to be taught, and she's going to go and lead someone astray with her own opinions and her own doctrine. And, you know, she didn't last very long. And the one that was, the ones that were doing the Bible study with her, they didn't last very long at all. So none of them are here. But it's just so important to make sure that we always stay under the covering of our shepherd. Sister Ashley?
Yes, anyone have a question? Ask their husband at home. We don't do women's Bible studies. We really don't. And that has come up before. That's been an issue with some women. They typically the women that want to lead the Bible studies, you know. But we're going to cover a lot of things tonight. So we're not just sticking on the lunatics, because we also have, you know, the Most High Yah is drawing a different mind, a different kind of people. And I think this video speaks to the passion of what the Father is doing. So let's go hear a clip from Pastor Corey. He's located in Kansas City. And hallelujah, here you go.
So I ain't got time for all these exoteric doctrines and teachings and things that people are just getting caught in these different webs, man. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is ready to save us. The Spirit is ready to unction us to a higher walk, a more powerful and a more fulfilled life of eternity, man. These things is just drawing us to that. So I don't understand how we get lost right now when the show is on. The show is on. Look at it. Everything is coming to light. Everything that was prophesied by the Nabeen is happening, and is happening right now in our time and in our day, and it has become extremely more easier to minister to those who are open, because they are finding you. You don't have to go find them. But guess what? Because you have a strong desire to be a bishop and an elder and some type of office of high calling, you're missing those right there in front of you. When this is all I ever did, I'm doing what I did way back then before I was ordained. I didn't search for no ordination. I didn't want to be ordained, because niggas is crazy. You can't, I'm telling you, people don't want to hear the true word. All they want to do is stand in the doorway and hear a good word. Then as soon as it's over, man, they forget the soundness and what was delivered from those who were chosen by the Most High to deliver unto you the gospel of the kingdom. And people are rejecting this like you wouldn't believe, man. I'm telling you, they reject it like a card that is expired and 10 years old. I'm telling you. And you got to find your way in this day to make sure your whole entire day is not full of religion, but it's full of being immersed in thought on the things above about the Most High God, because the time is coming where he is getting ready to rise up and getting ready to shut the door. And when he shut it, who can open it? So I leave you with that today. I'm Pastor Corey here at the Straightway Ministry, here at Straightway Kansas, and not really Straightway Kansas. I don't know what we are right now, because we everywhere. But I praise the Most High Yah, and I'm looking forward to a treat that we're going to leave the saints with that's going to be coming up
You know, we'll get it posted. But, you know, I'm going to let the Most High Yah lead. You know, there's one thing I was praying this morning, and just the Holy Spirit, man. I'm just praying that what we do tonight in our reading of the scriptures, that somebody be filled to overflowing, man. I'm praying that somebody just, that the Spirit come in and just knock us silly, man, till we get this, till we begin to understand how much we need the Most High Yah. We can't leave. Man, we can't leave the Most High and start doing our own thing, because he sent the only begotten Son to come and get us. And if he didn't come, who was going to get us when this thing ramp up like it is? Like it's ramping up right now. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit, man, just come in a great capacity this evening. That's why I'm told, Tyler, I got it. I'm getting to the gym. And I'm getting home, man, because I want to be in a place where my mind is just immersed. And I pray the Holy Spirit do what he do. And when we finally get the video out to y'all, I pray some of you all be touched, that you be renewed. Search for the renewing right now. Search for it right now with all that you are. Search for the, ask y'all to come in today and pour into you in a great capacity, that you don't miss what we got to have. Because we got to have this, man. We can't miss who Yah is. So this is our Elohim, who is going to save us out of the hand of the wicked. Don't miss him. Don't miss him for nothing. I don't care what it is, a job, money, opportunity. Don't let nothing come in between you and what Yah is going to do for his people. And I promise he's going to do greatness in our lives right now in this day, man. I promise you that, because he is who he is. He is the great I am.
Hallelujah. Can somebody say the great I am?
The great I am.
That's my king.
That's my king.
Hallelujah. Don't let that one thing, Mother Jennifer, man, he's always, it's like the Father pleads with us, you know, don't catch offense with just one thing, one doctrine, one man, the way he sounds, what he said. Don't catch offense and turn from the Most High Yah, Mother Jennifer.
And remember, you know, offenses are going to be tempting. Different offenses will be tempting for different people. So whatever might tempt me might not tempt another sister. So you have to really ask yourself, what is something that could cause me to stumble? You know, what is something that I still have in my heart that I have not dealt with? And are you really honest with yourself enough to see it for what it is, and actually painful to see, but you have to see it. You have to be able to confess it so that you can move on. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to play a music break. It's going to be a shorter show tonight. I probably have 4 more clips, always something to meditate on. The next one I'm playing after our music break is the one you might want to write things down. It is from 2017, so if you were there, you may even have it in your notes. It talks about the spirit of bitterness and rejection, and he rattles off really fast, so you might not be able to catch him or catch everything, but surely your ears will hear something that will feed your soul. All right, so we'll be back. Let's go to Straightway Praise Land, which is playing a Living Water song. Hallelujah. Brother David, Rashad, and Deacon Miguel.
Everything that has breath, glorify the Most High. Now I run with patience, who's right on the things I'm facing. In life I had to graduate from that.
bottles, big cups, and same cloth. Mindset rich in royal stitches. A lion monster, a bunch of kittens, or y'all kidding? Y'all burning, I'm boring, I got more stored in. My coach is boring, my king takes more than your hard drive storage. Won't trade my birthright for a pot of porridge. Straight is the wind if you find that road to glory.
Everything that has breath, glorified the Most High.
From what I thought with the words that they imply, but I'm alright, I can't let it shake me. You want the benefits, but I'm submitted to the trustee. It can't be, trust me, the difference being based on what I'm seeing. Like a fear and doubt, a voice that you're agreeing, I'm perceiving. Gotta get off my chest,
get off my chest,
put it to rest,
put it to rest.
But I digress, I digress, I digress. My former of days, now I'm enduring the race. Never give Satan no place. That's how I'm winning my case. Ain't leaving no trace. Filled with fear in the past and a worrier. Last time I rhyme with the word, I'm a warrior. He wrote the law, you can check my interior. Judas the lead, yeah, I know my superior.
Can somebody say, yeah, I'm in need of your water?
Yeah, I'm in need of your water.
Hard to even say without singing it. If y'all know the song, it's from Brother David in Praise Land. Hallelujah. There's really, I try to play you songs for every genre and every type of personality and mood that listens. No way. Can y'all still hear me? Did you see that?
What happened?
Can y'all
we
still
hear you, Sister Ashley.
You do, Mother Jennifer. Guess what? The computer just crashed. The whole thing.
Don't worry about it. I got you.
She said, I got you. The computer screen
wow.
Went pink. Yeah, wow. I lost all my clips. It's rebooting on its own. True story. She said it'll refresh. Oh, Father. Was that? Right. Well, they were saved, though. Like, I don't know. Will it be in my history? Y'all already know. Y'all got to tell me this computer stuff. All right. We signing back in. I'm not sharing the password. The whole thing went black. The whole thing. Oh, my gosh. Come in here, Chef, please. Now it's a teacher. Is that his password? I didn't say teacher. Anyway, Mother Jennifer, let's jump back on this for a second. I know that computer just did it again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just computer just shut down, second time. Well, let me get up, move my seat, and let her have it. So for each of you who may not know that bitterness and rejection and offense is going to come, it's going to challenge you. My next clip would have said it way better than me, but it is about how you handle it and how you go through it and how much you, talk to Yah about it and how much vulnerability and nakedness you have before him to really tell him how you are, how you feel, what you think, towards the shepherd, towards the man, towards the sister, towards the person who hurts you. Computer is out, huh? Your thoughts, Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, the nakedness and the vulnerability, I believe, is a step that is missed a whole lot. A lot of times women will try to cover up their vulnerable state with a spirit of pride, and it hinders you from making the proper confessions that you need to make so that you can be set free. And Yah already understands and knows what you have in your heart. He just wants to give you the opportunity to actually confess it and to deal with it. I have counseled women before in areas of sin that they're trying to overcome. And there are questions that you have to ask in order to get the proper confessions. But, sometimes you run across a nonchalant type attitude where the weight or the gravity of the sin is not even realized. There's no understanding of what the sin is actually doing to affect you. So this is why it is important to just be honest and say the things that are painful, say the things that hurt, you know, say the things that are in your heart so that you can get it out and put it on record that you desire repentance, and then the Father can actually meet you and he can deal with your heart. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, if Teacher Shane, Elder Becker, anyone is listening, the computer is shot. I appreciate your words. It's very, very well said. I'm going to play everything from now on my phone. I'm going to try to pull up the clips that I had reserved for my cell phone, so the audio is going to be a little different, but I definitely didn't want to mess up the flow of the show. I'm going to go now to a clip from Straightway Help Meets channel, and once again, thank you so much to everyone who subscribes or listens, to everyone who's ever clicked that like button. This was posted 2 weeks ago. It's a clip from Elder Rufus's Blog Talk Radio show. It's 3 minutes long. It's called No Offense But. Okay, here we go.
I want you and him to be on the same page. And he wants to put the devil on notice that y'all are unified in this level of repentance. See, you sugarcoating and you hiding and you faking the funk, but in the private time not doing what you're supposed to do, you're only hurting yourself, and you're not getting closer to the Father. See, a lot of people want you to believe there's this in-between place where you can straddle a fence. I'm here to tell you flat out there is no fence. There's no fence naturally. There's no fence spiritually. There's no fence mentally. There's no fence emotionally. You are either running from the Father or pushing closer to him. That's it. And because we willfully won't acknowledge and repent with our hearts and mouths, and we won't humble ourselves, we never develop the type of spirit that is necessary to press toward the mark like we've been, and the prize of the high calling. We don't develop that spirit. There's no level of vulnerability there. There's no level of trust. See, you have to believe the things you're doing are for Yah and his glory alone. See, you ain't going to get any glory from this. The glory you receive is what your Father shined down on you. It's for him. It's his triumph. Him and the devil have a battle going on right now. It's really not no battle, though. The devil think it is, but it's really not. But the devil wants you to believe that they're fighting for your worship. Yah is just worthy of it because he's perfect. He's Yah. And the devil will take it any way he can get it. And he knows that as long as you're not willingly giving that level of worship to Yah, that you're automatically giving it to him. See, he knows there's no fence spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. Ain't no fence. He wants you to keep thinking this one. He wants you to keep thinking, yeah, I got 1 foot with Yah. I'm going to get over. I'm going to tip on that side one day. No, 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 no. Yah said clearly, either you are with me or you are against me. And folk like to believe that, well, I'm working out my salvation. No, you're not. Because I don't see no fear, and I don't see no trembling. Those two have to accompany you if you are truly working out your salvation. There should be a reverent fear of the Most High Yah, of his righteous judgments going forth for you. For you.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what's your thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, when Elder was talking about, is really not a battle. You know, it is a battle that we have to overcome, but it's really not a battle because the work has been done. Yes, we are still required to do the work, but, you know, as women, we have to stay under the covering of Yah. You can remove yourself from the covering when you allow your mind to go astray. When you entertain thoughts that are not of Yah at all, when you are entertaining thoughts of rejection or rebellion, stubbornness, witchcraft, when you entertain those things, then you're automatically removing yourself from the covering of Yah, and you end up tying his hands. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. You know, it sounds simple. All you got to do is say yes, right? Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll do. Yes, I'll obey. Yes, I'll listen. Right? It sounds too simple sometimes, but really that's all it is. All right? Let's hear this song called Yes that's going to minister to the spirit of those who perhaps you're struggling. Perhaps you don't understand. It's not a begging and a pleading thing because y'all going to gather his, but maybe you don't understand how difficult the journey is to fight through your own offense and bitterness and rejection to get, you know, to develop the ears of hearing. You know, perhaps you are confused. Maybe you're far off. You don't understand. Perhaps you've linked yourself in really bad negative relationships being in the faith. Perhaps you don't understand. Right? Here we go. Let's hit this.
Will you
Jennifer, when the going gets tough and you don't really understand the Father's love, the Father's ways, what he's doing, the battle, this, that, and the other, and you're shown to be weak, you know, weak in your mind, weak in your faith, but you gotta say yes. That's it. You gotta say, I can't say yes, so that you can produce a yes, right? Made up in my mind. If you leave me, I'll go. But this is the manifestation of it. Right here, we're living it. Have you ever had a time where it was difficult to say yes, Mother?
Yes, I have, Sister Ashley. But, you know, really learning how to rest in Yah and be honest with the mindset that you know you don't have, you know, the mindset that you know you need, that is what will set you free. And I think, you know, the thing that we miss is to have your mind made up, regardless, I'm going to say yes. I just need to figure out how to overcome this wicked state of mind that I'm currently in. Because regardless, my mind is made up, and I'm going to say yes. If you have that resolve in you, regardless, then, you know, that's half the battle, to have your mind made up. Regardless, I'm going to say yes. As long as I know that the Father is leading me, I'm going to say yes. It doesn't matter. Sister Ashley?
the book Pigs in the Parlor has seven steps to deliverance. Number one, it says, make yourself honest with Yah and with yourself. Hallelujah. Number two says, with humility, you must have a complete openness with Yah's servants ministering to you. Now, that's a good one, right? You must have a complete trust in the one that's ministering to you. Repentance is determined, of course, by turning away from sin. That's number three. Number four, they said, is renunciation, the forsaking of all evil. Number five is to forgive, because the Most High freely forgive you. His blood is literally ready to forgive you. Like, imagine it just hanging over your head. Number six, everything's restored. Jeff was under the table plugging in stuff, pushing buttons, making noise that I didn't want y'all to hear. And now we got our computer back. Number six was prayer, you know. Number seven was warfare. But it also talks about seven steps for keeping your deliverance. And that's putting on the whole armor of the Most High, yeah? That's confessing positive things, positive confession, or maybe making a faith expressions. Staying in the scripture, staying in the word. Hey, come here, Chef. Type this in for me. This is my clip I needed. Oh, wait. They're here. She said it's restored. Y'all got to go with me. I'm telling you, I'm not the computer guy. I'm not. All right. Number four is crucify the flesh. Five, develop a life of continuous praise and prayer. Continuous. Number six is maintain a life of fellowship and spiritual ministry, which we do. We support a continual life of fellowship. You can't leave the fellowship, right? And spiritual ministry. And then, of course, committing yourself completely and totally unto the Most High Yah. Teacher Shane, no joke, everything went black. And kept, it would turn back on, then go black, turn back on, then go black. She checked all the cords. Teacher Shane's here to deliver us, and it just repowered back on. So here we have it.
Just a power cord.
As usual, it's some kind of conspiracy that spirits are like, here he comes.
And just whoever's cleaning in here needs to be more mindful.
Be careful. But yes, okay. Just in case it was a power cord. Yes, indeed. But everything checked out, right? All the power cords were good, so... All right, bless you. Everybody say thank you, teacher.
Thank you, teacher.
Did you run up the hill, teacher? Did you run up?
No.
You got to. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. All right, here's my clip. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts before I go there?
I just want to commend Teacher Shane. Our leaders be on the spot. So bless you, teacher. You can go ahead, Teacher Ashley.
On the spot, Jesus. All right, here we go. We find my clip here. Let's see. All right. Turn my volume back. Y'all bear with us. Sabbath service of 2017. This is the one you might want to actually write things down. Okay? It was a lot of information, and it was fast, and it was good. It's Sabbath service 11-25-17, if you want to go back to it, 11-25-17. That's Alpha Straightway Tech Team. Okay? Straightway Tech Team. November 2017. I got to turn my speaker back on. I did that, Chef. Here we go. Here's our shepherd.
We're going to go right on into it, all right? All right. Understand this first. We all have had many generations of rejection working in us, be it rejection of the father, rejection of the mother, rejection of love, rejection of husband, rejection of wife, rejection of children, rejection of friends. We've all had some form of rejection, and then generations of it working in us. Nobody likes being rejected. Nobody likes the feeling of being rejected, because being rejected also feels like betrayal. That's what it feels like. And I'm telling you, see, rejection can only work when bitterness and unforgiveness is in front of it, and when jealousy and envy is already in the making. Y'all hear that? So, it is. It's there. But it's left to us to figure this thing out. All the generations that come on before us, all they did was endure, got sick, and died. But now we're here armed with the knowledge of truth. It's in our lap to deal with it. Y'all ain't pouring all this and laying it in our laps just so we can sit up here and just be happy. We have a job to do. All right? So let's look into the past so we can see the victory in our future. All right? So now, in order to defeat rejection, we have to work from the back and move to the front. All right?
meaning we're going to start at the roots. All right, Yahweh's people rejected his Torah. Is that right? Also, rejection in the womb. An adopted child feels rejected. Let me go back to this rejection in the womb. That's why I keep telling women. I tell women this all the time when you're pregnant. You better make sure that you guard your spirit. Make sure you guard your spirit while that baby is in there. Because every emotion that you feel and you don't deal with, that spirit is going in that child. Everything you are, your thoughts, is going into that child. That child's going to be shaped and molded after you. You run around a nervous wreck and a nervous breakdown. The child come out screaming and hollering. You can't get it to stop. You ain't got nobody to blame but you. That's just the truth. Adopted children, because they get passed it around so much and stuff. They got walls built up. They don't even want to feel no love no more because they've been rejected so much. Hereditary rejection. Rejection by educators and people in our lives. Ain't you been rejected by them? You ever felt, anybody ever felt how rejection feels before? It don't feel good, does it? Painful factors are later in life. Self-rejection. Have you ever rejected yourself?
Yes, sir.
I know y'all women always reject yourself. Y'all shouldn't reject yourself. You should love yourself. You just don't love the hell and the devil that's trying to work in you. Aggressive reactions is a result, and also it shows if you have ever been influenced by rejection. That aggressive reaction, because it's trying to cover up the pain and the feelings of being rejected. Regressive attitudes. Again, it's nothing but a cover-up. It's all a cover-up of the pain that is internally going on inside of you. Stubbornness is also another root of rejection. See, a word has a meaning, and then a word has synonyms, which chains and branches, right? Which all goes back to the root of the word. That's what all this is. This is showing you that these are some of the fruits that's in the roots of rejection that's operating in your life. Not comprehensive, you know, list, but it's pretty close. Defiance and rebellion is nothing but just a defense to protect your rejection. Refusing counsel or comfort. Rejection. Aggressive reaction again, rejection of others. See, when others reject you, some people respond different. Some people go into themselves and beat up themselves. But then some people actually lash out at other people in order to not be rejected, because that is their insulation and protection. Harshness or harsh towards others. Whenever you're harsh towards others, it's a veneer. It's a veneer to cover up the pain that is internally inside of you. That's all it is. Yep, you're putting up a show, skepticism. See, when you're rejected or you experience rejection or any type of rejection, then all of a sudden that rejection causes you to see things in a different way, in a different light. You know, I'm telling you, we got to watch ourselves on these, because it leads all to unbelief like bitterness does. Rejection also makes you being scared to fail. You set out to do something, but you're afraid to fail. And when you're dealing with fear, because you're afraid you're going to be rejected, you can't even perform the task the way you ought to, because you're more worried about being rejected than just doing the task with a pure heart. Does that make sense? And then, of course, fear of others' opinions. You know what I mean? We like to say we don't like what, well, I don't care what nobody say, but then as soon as somebody say something, you get rejected and feeling. Hey, now, gee, which one is it?
Come on,
Pat. Which one is it? Anxiety, worry, and depression. Negativity, hopelessness, and despair. Inadequacy. All of these are synonyms for the symptoms of rejection. Low self-image. You got somebody constantly ragging on you, or you making somebody constantly ragging on you. See, sometimes rejection is so strategic that if you reject yourself, you'll make up stories about others to help fulfill your rejection. You start pointing your finger at him and saying, well, did this, just so you can confirm the rejection that's in you. This is how strategic this thing is built. I'm telling you, this is something. Insecurity.
been rejected one or two times, stuff, you start developing insecurity. Huh? Then guess what? In comes sadness. How are you going to feel? How do you feel if you ever experience rejection? Do you feel happy or glad? No, you have sadness, grief, and sorrow. Then you start accusing yourself. The self-accusation comes in to help confirm that rejection and bring you to a deeper level of it, thereby making sure you don't ever get free from it. Then you have self-condemnation. And then you go on with inability or refusal to communicate. You close up within yourself. Because if you say something is wrong, then you experience rejection. You don't say something, it's mental madness, what it is. Mental gymnastics. All those affect the personality of the person. You know, you do have a personality, right? One minute your personality changes, believe it or not, sometimes wise watch husbands to see what type of mood they in. What type of bed did he get up on this morning? So they sit and they look at you. Then they watch you, then they approach you. Hi, honey. They don't know if they're going to get, oh, God of mercy. Carefully. How you doing? It's all right. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Husband come home from work, he don't know what he getting ready to enter into. He come home from work, man, next thing you know, food burnt. She's sitting there with a knife in her hand, a fire thing, hands crossed. Mad at the world, mad at the air, mad at you. And you're like, what in the world I did? Next thing you know, you get bombarded with all this rejection. You're like, I wasn't even here. Wives, let me tell you something. Husbands don't like hearing all that talking. They don't. Y'all will wear the hell out of a man when, don't stop. Watch him. If he's sitting there like this, checking out. He's sitting there, but he done checked out. And you know what he's doing? He's guarding his heart from bitterness. Because the Bible says, husband, don't be bitter against you. And he said, a lot of times he's sitting there, oh boy. God, boy, Father, you're making this tough. Jeez. See, I got both sides. Tell the truth. Performance drops. Ways we mask rejection is in our performance and self-protectiveness. Self-centeredness. Isolation. Competition. Aloneness. Notice one thing you can see about rejection, it really likes getting you in its own confines. Its own little world. Sometimes you're so rejected and no matter what somebody say, it still don't mean nothing. Because the voice of rejection speaks louder than what the people are saying in order to try to help you. Hallelujah. Pride, arrogance, manipulation, possessiveness. All of these are synonyms that go to rejection, emotional immaturity. You know, 20, 30 years old, you shouldn't be acting like a teenager. 30, 40 years old, you shouldn't be acting like a teenager. Perfectionism is also a form of rejection, if you could take it to the extreme. All right, self-righteousness, self-justification.
Hallelujah. That's a really meaty clip. There's a lot said, a lot to think about. Mother Jennifer, talk to somebody who may have had, you know, a prick or something really stand out in their spirit while listening.
Yes, ma'am. I think it was, very important in the beginning where Pastor said always start at the root. And you have to really be honest with yourself because sometimes you'll find yourself in a mindset that is not right, a contrary mindset that is against Yah. you know, you might find yourself entertaining a spirit of rejection. Well, you have to go back and find out when did this start? Was it when I was in my mother's womb? You know, was it a mindset that I entertained years ago and never dealt with? You know, when did this start? So always go back to the beginning and try to figure out what the root is. And also, you know, when you're reading the word and you're looking at the, when Yah is showing you the sins of our people, you know, do you see yourself in the word when you're reading that? You know, are you able to identify with it instead of just saying, oh, that's not me, you know, I'll never be like that? Are you really seeing yourself in an honest way? Are you able to make an honest assessment of you? You know, and then, you know, I find that women, Sister Ashley, sometimes, I know we're talking about rejection, so I wanted to say, you know, sometimes women, you're not being rejected. You might believe that you're being rejected, and so then you will reject others based on how you feel, but your feelings are actually not accurate at all. So you have to ask yourself, are you really being rejected by someone else, or are you just simply rejecting the love of another because of the defense mechanisms? And that's what Pastor was talking about. And it does cause you to see things in a different light, you know, when you're going through that, entertaining the spirit of rejection. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Next clip. This is from Straight With Hope Meets Channel. It's just a clip from a preaching from 2020. He actually was behind his desk. It was a blog talk. And on our channel, it's called Old Bitter Women and Young Women Running Short on Love. So here we go.
Titus chapter 2, all right?
Titus chapter 2.
What we need more than anything is we need older women who are not bitter, who are not spiteful, who are not vengeful, and good fortune we're finding some of them in Israel. But we need older women that are able to teach younger women. That's what the book says, right?
Yes.
Is that what the book says?
Mm-hmm.
We're in Titus right now. What I say, chapter 2?
Chapter 2, yes, sir.
We're going to start at verse 1, though, okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Read on, teeth.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
You know, sound doctrine means things that is going to help you have good spiritual health. It's going to help you to be in health. It's going to help you to be whole. All right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to speak the things concerning sound doctrine. Come on.
That the aged men...
That the what kind of men?
The aged.
What should they be?
Be sober.
That means be sober. You know, you walk around circumspectly, not like a bunch of fools. Come on.
Grave.
Grave means that you're honorable. Be honest. Come on.
Temperate.
Temperate means that you be sound in mind, you full of self-control. Come on.
Sound in faith.
Sound in faith. Same thing sound, same word. Same word. Health. Come on.
Sound in charity.
Sound in faith. And sound in charity. And what, which is love. Come on. Affection. Come on.
And sound in patience.
And sound in patience, meaning endurance. Be consistent in endurance. And that the what?
The aged women likewise.
Aged women likewise be what?
That they be in behavior.
In be a, what behavior?
As becometh holiness.
Meaning a woman to be reverent, to be revered. Come on.
Not false accusers.
Not false accusers. Not, you know what I mean? Not false accusers, not a slanderer.
Not giving too much wine.
Not a drunkard.
Teachers of good things.
Teachers of good things. Read.
That they may teach the young women.
So the older women, the aged women are supposed to teach the young women.
To be sober.
To be what?
Sober.
Not going around accusing them, but to be sober.
To love their husbands.
To do what with their husbands?
To love their husbands.
To teach them how to be affectionate. Teach them how to be fond of their husbands. Come on.
To love their children.
And to love their children. Now, in other words, this shit ain't automatically in y'all. This is stuff's got to be taught. And you see the reason why women are running short on love today? Because we got a bunch of old-ass, aged, bitter women who done been through shit in their life, death, hell, and she ain't got nothing to offer, no generation coming behind her, because her life was pissing shit, so she all she got to offer you is pissing shit.
Yeah.
Now, that's real talk. And that's why our women are all jacked up today. It's not going to automatically be in them. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't have to teach.
That's right.
You have to teach them to love their husband and to love their children. Teach.
Mm-hmm.
Teach. Teach.
Mm-hmm.
Teach. You know how to teach people to talk about people, but you don't know how to teach people how to bring them up. Teach. Teach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. It ain't automatically in women. To love their husbands and to love their children. If it would, then guess what? They wouldn't have to be taught. They got to learn how to love their husbands. And it's supposed to come from a woman that's full of love and have lived a life of love and have demonstrated love.
Yes.
You know, one of those things we seem to be running short on all the time in this ministry, which is a Proverbs 31 woman. Read verse 4 again.
That they may teach the young women
to be what?
To be sober.
Come on.
To love their husbands.
To love their husbands.
To love their children.
To love their children.
To be discreet.
Teach them how to be discreet.
Chaste.
How to be chaste.
Keepers at home.
Keepers at home. And watch this.
Good.
Good.
Obedient.
Obedient.
To their own husbands.
And you got a damn woman that's undermining, that tears down her husband, slanders her husband, speaks evil of her husband. Shit. How in the hell would you expect for the younger woman to be taught something? And when you go around and see them do the same thing, you the first damn one want to be up on their damn face, want to counsel them. With your deceitful, funky ass.
Amen.
See, this is the way this generation needs to be talked to. No wonder the Most High raised me up in this time. All this is what women are supposed to be able to, older women are supposed to be able to teach the younger women. And who's doing that today? Read on.
That's the word of Yah.
And you do all of this for the sole purpose and the sole reason for what?
That the word of Yah
be what?
Blasphemed.
Only so that nobody can actually speak evil against us or rail against us because we're blaspheming the word. Woman, I'm telling you right now, first of all, woman, you ain't nothing but what your husband tell you you are. Now we getting a bunch of young women that are young, that are teaching young women. Because they ain't got all that trash in their ass. Now, these women are something else, and I'm telling you, man, they do all kind of damn talking behind the scenes. They do, man. They do a hell of a lot of it. That's all right. Y'all hear you? Ain't nobody getting by, none of us. Or getting by, none of us are getting by.
Hallelujah. Very good clip. Some of you haven't been around long enough to know that none of us are getting by. If you waited out long enough, you'll see. You'll see. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, hallelujah for a ministry of restoration, a ministry of deliverance. And, you know, to the women, those who are aged, you know, no matter what your age is, you can never have the mindset that you have arrived. When you have that mindset, it's actually very dangerous when you don't have the humility to know and understand that, you know, there's a lot that needs to be worked on. Like Pastor said, it's not automatically in women. If it's not automatically in women, then that's definitely something that needs to be worked on. But you can't walk around with the mindset that you have all the answers, that you know everything, that you've arrived, you know, just because you get older. You have to put yourself in a position to where the younger women will actually trust you because they see you doing the work yourself. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I called Sister Tammy up. Now, Tammy, who did you get to listen to today? Who was talking on an audio clip, an old clip?
Mother Stallings.
Mother Stallings was probably in her 70s when you heard her, you think?
I think she was 82 at that time.
82. All right. Granny Barbara's playing her voice, basically.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking, right?
Yeah.
And you got to hear Mother Stallings talk. What's one of the things that you heard Mother Stallings at 82 years old say to you when you're listening today?
She said you learn something new every day. Even when you get old, you're still learning.
You learn something new every day, even when you get old, every day. There's a lot of humility in that statement, right? At 82 years old, you learn something new every day. Hallelujah. That's the right mindset. Thank you. Bless you. All right. Here we go. Last clip of the night. Thank y'all so much for enduring the show. I hope it's led you with really good internal conversation, right, that you can really reflect on. Okay, here we go. We're going to Elder Becker. Elder Becker's got a YouTube channel. He's not frequently on there. Obviously, hearing his voice early in the show tonight, knowing that he has 150 to 175 callers a month, would let you know why he's not on there, right? His video is from 2017. It's titled Offense, Bitterness, and Pride. All right. Thank y'all for giving Chef sound checks. Okay. Please give me one on this video.
All of you that have been following Straightway Ministries and listening to Pastor Dial and the elders and, you know, Teacher Shane, try to bring forth the word. You know, you've heard about these things. He's warning time and time again that we're in the dead season, and we've been watching the devil, you know, his devices make shipwreck of many of the people that used to be part of this ministry. And Yah, you know, he's not a respected person. It's gone all the way from what we call, you want to call the top of the leadership echelon, you know, to a pastor. It's inflicting an elder that was, you know, as part of the body. And you know, it's the saints have been touched by it. So it's a very dire thing. But again, it's usually because of an offense. And, you know, we find the same pattern that happens every time somebody gets offended. Well, first of all, the offense comes because of it comes by the love of somebody wanting people to know that they're in a wicked or wrong way. That's what it stems from. I mean, when you're corrected, when you're instructed, when you're reproved and rebuked, especially, you know, from the man of Yah himself, you know, the anointed vessel here in Israel that the Father said is the head of the assembly here. In part of the United States, it might be the only one in the United States, in North America, for all I know, but you know that the truth that Pastor Dahl speaks by the unction of the Father. But when these things come out, you know, automatically, because every man is right in his own eyes, because in this country we have a level of pride that's, you know, unsurpassed. I used to own a travel agency, so I do have a little bit of knowledge of world culture, world peoples, you know, their behaviors. And just about any country you go to, you can feel this American pride try to raise its head up, you know, like it's the, you know, we're the know-all, the end-all, to however the phrase is, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, of course we're not. It's just a big deception. In fact, we are the worst off among all people because of this level of pride that's been, you know, institutionalized in us, been programmed in us. But unfortunately, you know, it's overflowed. We carry that into Israel, and the Bible is replete with renouncing this attitude of pride. It's the thing that will not allow a person to receive the correction, the reproof, the instruction in righteousness for edification. And this ministry is done in love. I don't care what capacity that you're receiving is, it's still done out of love and hopes that it gets somebody to repent. It's the goodness of the Father. The goodness of Yah is his reproof, his instruction, his correction, his direction. It's that goodness that gets us to repent. At least that's the hope. But anyway, you know, so when a person receives an offense, we've heard a lot about how the viper works. The viper is working on an offended spirit. He's in disagreement with something. It's not measuring up to his book of the law. He's also become a judge of all the people, all right, and especially the leadership. Or it could be a brother or sister that have come to him in love, speaking to him, trying to, or her, you know, whatever the case may be. But the pattern is pretty much replete in that, or repeated in that, the fact that when the offended person has that root of bitterness that starts to spring up in them, it's looking to go out to capture others, to defile others as well. And the Bible, David, you know, he used the word snare time and time again. He used the word snare, the word net, the word cords. He continually brought it because these are things that are there to reach out by the offense, by the words of another, to grab hold of you and to pull you back to that person. See, everybody, when they're in an offended way, they have to be justified. Now, you know, it just pops in mind, there are some people that have gone away from the ministry, left because of an offense, and never went to anybody else or said a word to anybody else. You know, at least give them some type of, you know, recognition for at least holding their peace and leaving peaceably, quietly, you know, instead of trying to go up. But it's the ones, the wicked ones, the really defiled ones that go out and try to poison everybody else, because everybody, in order to show some type of justification, you need other voices with you. You need some type of support, because if you're an island all to yourself, it's much more difficult to try to convince anybody when everybody else, that great cloud of witnesses, doesn't see eye to eye. So with your, what your thought, what you're trying to promote, what you're trying to, you know, instigate, what you're trying to draw other people to yourself. So what these people will do, they will get on the phone, they'll get, you know, they'll text you, whatever the case may be. They may, get on social media and put their private, most of it's done privately. You know, again, going back is being a part of Straightway for 16 and a half years and seeing a great deal. Even here at this community in the early years, we saw a perfect demonstration that you get one family that will get offended, you get a brother or sister get offended, and what they would do is they go around and start talking. Yeah, you see how this is working? You see how unjust this is? You see the difference here? You know, and just get them to get an evil eye. And, you know, how come they don't see it my way? It should be this way because I know better, Donnie. But God didn't lay this work in your hands, did he? But the point is, and all of a sudden we see a mass exodus over a short period of time demonstrated here in this community, and now we've seen it over the body in this what we call the purge or the during this dead season. So it all goes back to an offended, bitter spirit, somebody that is proud in nature, proud that can't receive reproof and instruction, no matter who it comes from, if it's righteous. Now, if it's not, we'll put it out there. We'll let other judgment, just like it says in Matthew 18. Okay, that's why Yeshua told us how to perform these things, so we could, you know, everybody, the ones that can be justified, are supposed to be justified, will be justified. But, you know, what I was meditating on today, and again, what compelled me, I was reading in the Psalms, earlier, about David having to deal with the same type of, way back then, thousands of years ago, the same type of spirit. The same people trying to ensnare him, trap him, come quietly to him, softly. And of course, he was a king. You don't walk to him boldly. You know, you can't just, hey, walk up and put your chest in his face and say, bro, you know, hey, you know, I need a word with you. That don't work like that, you know, especially back then. But David still, being the king, still had people trying to deceive him. You know, he was a man after Yah's own heart. He had the spirit of the Most High, and of course David knew what he was dealing with. And then some of us, you know, a lot of us in the ministry here at Straightway, you know, we call it red flags. When somebody approaches you in an offhanded way, or they're trying to gain you contrary to what is actually being spoken about in the ministry, or you just can sense there's something right, these people are there to lay a snare for you. They're there to pull you in to their confidence, so when they go forth, because they want to expose this, that, you know, you're wrong, so they want you to back them up, because you've already agreed with what they put out there. They may say, hey, brother, you know, they did it softly. Brother, what do you think this verse is saying? What do you think this part of the Torah is saying, brother? you know, I need some more understanding. And the whole time they already know what they believe it to be, but they're trying to gain your confidence, and all of a sudden, if you suddenly all agree with, yeah, brother, that's what I thought too, man, thank you, you know? And then so when they come out in the public or whatever, when they start promoting it more and more because they're trying to justify a point, they're going to say, hey, you know, this brother, he agreed with me. This sister, she saw it the same way. And they snared you. They've actually taken you in the snare. You know, David said this in Psalm. This is what I was reading this morning. He said in Psalm 140, verses 4 and 5, he said, keep me, O Yahweh. It was a prayer. Preserve me, Father, from the hands of the wicked, because they're out for blood. It's all about me. It's all about you. He said, preserve me from the violent man, the bitter man, the man that's got envy and jealousy. And jealousy is the rage of a man. Well, a purpose to overthrow my goings. They want to remove me out of this path. They're going to try to take me down. You know, this is what, if you want the case in text, Absalom, okay, that's what he was trying to do, his own son. You know, David's own son, trying to overthrow his goings. And his goings were serving the Most High with all his heart, mind, body, and soul. And then he goes on, he says, the proud have hid a snare for me. So who are these wicked, these hands of the wicked, the violent men, the one that overthrow the goings? He sums it up in one. He says, these are the proud. You know, the proud and lofty men, the men that they can't receive correction, the ones that won't hear correction, removed from rebuke. These proud, these prideful ones, and they have hit me a snare for me. They have, and cords, they have spread a net by the wayside. You know, they're going to catch me off guard. That's what the whole idea designed behind this spirit is. Trickery is deceit. It's absolute flat out, and who is the great deceiver? Satan himself. That's the kind of character you're dealing there with. It. You know, what is it? There was, I don't remember the context of the whole story. Acts chapter, was it chapter 5? They talked about Thaddeus and somebody else, and they had to get, you know, they had a purpose, they had a cause, you know, and they were justified in what they were about to do, and so they had to raise up old men to themselves, man. They had to convince all these other people with weak minds and characters that, you know, would allow just about anything to come in, because, you know, what if these are Thaddeus' friends, you know, hey, you know, and man, I got to hear what he's got to say because he's my friend, he's my chum, my buddy, my pal. No, you don't. If somebody's speaking to you wicked, man, I don't care who they are. It's your job. If you actually love your brother or sister, tell them there on the spot, brother, hey, you ain't talking right. Hey, you don't have to blast them, but come on, you know. It's when it says in Ezekiel 33, I think it says in 13 as well, or 16, anyway, it says a few times in there, it's a repeated chapter that, you know, if you fail to warn the wicked, I mean, they may be in a wicked way. They may not realize it sometimes. Other times they do have purpose, and that's, of course, we're talking about the proud here. But case in point, it's for you as a respectful brother and sister, one of honor and integrity, to actually help bring them out of that darkness if they'll come out, you know, because an offense is, you know, what's it say in Proverbs? You know, man offended is harder to be won than a fenced city. I mean, it's nearly impossible to get over the top. But I really ain't got more to add to that.
Hallelujah. Perfect way to end the video. Just guard your heart from all evil conversation. And, you know, disagreement will come, and arguments will come, bitterness will come. And, you know, it's pretty common for each of us to have our own personal challenges in relationships early on in the faith, really determining who you need to be close to, what you need to talk about, you know, kind of wading yourself through the faith. So it's an ongoing journey, and I pray that you each guard your soul, hallelujah, and that you grow. Mother Jennifer?
Definitely, Sister Ashley, it's an ongoing journey, and, you know, the point is to learn from it. If you're still repeating the same battles, you know, then you haven't learned. But the point is to learn and to mature. It's not to be perfect right away. We're working on being perfected. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you. That's it. Wrapping it up. That's it for tonight. Let the men speak for certain. We let the men speak, and we support them in the background. Mother Jennifer, any words to conclude the show?
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Shalom.